This is ESPN Radio.
If you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. It's day one stuff right there. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. We got a lot of great ones today ahead of Thursday Night Football. Stanford Steve is going to join us from Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Mike Reese, our Patriots reporter, Harry Douglas, former Falcons great, and Lewis Riddick from the Monday Night Football booth. But Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty here. And Chris, while on paper, this Falcons and Patriots matchup may not be the sexiest thing on planet Earth, I think it is a chance to ask some potentially uncomfortable questions for everyone in New England who is very high on their young quarterback right now.
Well, yeah, it's an opportunity to see exactly how far Mac Jones has come in terms of his evolution as a quarterback, because they're going up against a stingy run front in the Atlanta Falcons. Now, the other side of that point is the Atlanta Falcons can't get any pressure on the quarterback, so it does set itself up for Mac Jones to be able to have a day going up against this Falcons defense. The question is he going to be able to deliver in the same way that we saw him deliver last week when he threw for three touchdowns and he had a 142 passer rating? So I think this is going to be a different kind of test for him, because you're talking about a short week of preparation, being on the road. We've seen road teams struggle on Thursday Night Football. So this is a unique challenge for Mac Jones. There's going to be a little bit of a learning curve with the condensed work week. But, man, based on everything we've seen from the kid, there's no reason to think that he won't pass this test like he's passed the other tests that he's been presented so far.
And a lot of that, Chris, is probably because he's being graded on a different curve than the other so far, right? When the system around you is put up and set up the way it has been, because we talked about yesterday that Patriots team has a good plan for their quarterback, because this is a competent championship organization in all the parts that are around him, that he is not ever going to be asked to do the thing that a lot of his peers are going to do. Acknowledging that doesn't take away from Mac Jones and what he has done performance-wise. Right now, he is on pace to break Dak Prescott's rookie record for completion percentage. He sits at a very nice 69% through the air right now, but we also have to acknowledge that as we look at all these quarterbacks, like we talked about yesterday, the game is built different for him right now than it is for most of these guys.
No question about it. I mean, they're not asking him to do but so much, because you do have a really strong run game, you've got a good offensive line, and you've got a dominant defense. I mean, this defense has only allowed more than 20 points four times on the season. They're second in points allowed. So, I mean, this is one of those defenses that's reminiscent of what we saw in the early Tom Brady years, 2001, 2003, 2004, when the Patriots were winning Super Bowls. It's that same kind of defense. And we ran through all of the different names that you had on the side of the ball back on that 2001 Patriots defense, and how you have guys that have similar skill sets, similar traits on this variation of the Patriots defense. So, I mean, this is going to be one of those defenses that's going to be reckoned with. They're going to give a lot of teams in the AFC some problems, and I think they have a formula for success that's going to play well once we get to December football and on into the playoffs.
We want to hear from you, Canty and Golic Jr. Nation, on the Dr. Pepper call-in line. ESPN Nation's presented by Dr. Pepper. That number's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. College football's heating up, and so are the fans. Return to glory with Fansville by Dr. Pepper, the one fans deserve. What does that formula look like? I saw Daniel Jeremiah over the NFL Network tweet this out from Next Gen Stats. He has thrown 17 completions on running back screens, first in the NFL, for 161 yards, second most in the NFL. He has 43 completions on out routes, which is first in the NFL, for 401 yards, which is second in the NFL. And his checkdowns versus non-blitz looks for targets out of the backfield, 28% of his attempts, that is second in the NFL. Chris, we mention it all the time on here. They are treated this quarterback like a brisket. It is low and it is slow, and they are going to make sure that over time they don't screw this up.
Well, Gojo, just like when it comes to developing a young quarterback, you can use that same analogy that a lot of people use that invest, that make money. You can't go broke making a profit, and I think that's how the Patriots offense operates. And when you see what they did last week, being able to have three drives of more than 90 yards, And Matt Jones being under center for two of them, and the other long drive that he had was 84 yards. I mean, that just says that this team understands what it takes to be able to sustain drives, and they're good at being able to convert on the money downs on third downs. But most importantly, they stay on schedule as an offense. Like, when you don't get thrown for negative plays, it presents an opportunity for that offense to continue to move the chains, and ultimately you're going to end up with scoring opportunities more than your opponents. And I think that's what Bill Belichick does better than any other coach in the National Football League. He understands complementary football, he understands field position, and he understands the value of every single possession and how that can dictate the complexion of the game. And so I think Mac Jones does a good job of doing exactly what the coaching staff wants him to do, which feeds into the game plan and also the personnel that they've surrounded him with.
Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. And so this is the question I wanted to ask, Chris, of you and of anyone that's a fan of this Patriots team. Because as we go into this one, these primetime matchups are always ripe for hyperbole, right? What Mac Jones does in this start is likely going to have us overreacting even more. If they manage to go out and thrash a Falcons team, the overall, we've seen be a little inconsistent over the last couple of weeks. They got beat bad by some good teams. They managed to get over on some lesser teams. For Mac Jones' ceiling, everyone talks about him relative to Tom Brady. And I saw this from Phil Perry, who writes over at NBC Sports in Boston. What if we lowered the ceiling a little bit? Like, if I told you right now, Chris, Pats fans were signing up, that Mac Jones would have the ceiling of the guy across from him on the sideline tonight in Matt Ryan, would that be appealing? Like, would that be considered successful for the Patriots taking him as the fifth quarterback in the first round of this draft?
Well, I mean, if you get him to a Super Bowl and you win an MVP, yeah, I think that would be something that a lot of Patriots fans would sign up for, and they feel like with a head coach like Bill Belichick, making sure that he can fill in the pieces around the quarterback, that that would be enough for them to win more titles. So, yeah, I think Patriots fans would be okay with that if that ends up being the ceiling for Mac Jones. But the one thing I will say about Mac Jones is that he's a grinder, man. You just look at his story. Look at how he bided his time down at Alabama. He waited patiently, developed properly, and then he ultimately flourished on what could be considered one of the greatest Nick Saban teams that he's ever marched out there. Like, I just feel like the DNA in this kid, you know, presents an opportunity for him to, from a production standpoint, exceed what you think his talent level should allow him to do. And so I know we like to put the Matt Ryan comparison on him just because of the athleticism or lack thereof and just the stature. But I think there's got to be a little bit more to Matt Jones from in terms of the mental makeup, the 6 inches between his ears, but then also his football IQ. I just think that this kid is built a little bit differently, very similarly to what we've seen from Tom Brady. I'm not saying he's going to be Tom Brady, but just the drive that we've seen from him and the development that we've seen from the preseason up until this point, I mean, you got to give him credit, man. It was a bumpy start the first month of the regular season, and now you're talking about them rattling off four straight and winning five of the last six. That says something about the kid, even though we're saying that they put the guardrails on. Mac Jones is still the one that's quarterbacking this thing, and the Patriots are playing winning football.
No, and I get all that. It just feels like for years, Matt Ryan has been that quarterback that we have constantly said is a product of the circumstances around him. People try and discredit that MVP season all the time from him, basing it on, all right, well, Kyle Shanahan's offense, all these different things that were around him at that point.
He's still got to go out there and make the throws, Mike.
Oh, he does. That's what I'm saying. Listen, I've been someone who wants to give Matt Ryan credit. Even now, even going into this season, Falcons fans wanted him up out of the paint. Falcons fans wanted to bring Justin Fields back home to the state of Georgia and get him out of here. And now you've got Kyle Pitts, who's out here balling that you took in that spot. You've got Matt Ryan, who over the last 4 weeks has the seventh highest QBR in the NFL. So I just keep looking and wondering. The relationship with Matt Ryan always seems very complicated and fraught with all of this desire to try and kind of wish him away at this point. But again, if you turn that around and say, you gave the Patriots organization someone playing the caliber of football that Matt Ryan has played over the course of his career, and I think you could still very much win something of substance with all of that. So that's an interesting question I want to get into. What is the view of Matt Ryan from where Atlanta sits right now? What is he capable of, and how much longer does he have with that team? We'll get to that after this word from Wendy's. Now, a better breakfast starts with a better biscuit. That's why Wendy's is serving a hot and buttery Wendy's breakfast biscuit with bacon or sausage, egg and cheese for just $1. That's oven-baked bacon or savory breakfast sausage with a fresh cracked egg and cheese on a buttery, flaky biscuit for just $1. So don't risk your biscuit someplace else. Get to your nearest Wendy's drive-thru during breakfast hours and get your Wendy's breakfast biscuit with sausage or bacon, egg and cheese for only a dollar. Limited time only at participating U.S. Wendy's. Canny and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. At Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Canny 99 on the Dr. Pepper Twitter line is where you can get at us. But right now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. We're going to head out and talk to our friend, ESPN football analyst, one of the ESPN radio hosts you hear around here. He works over at the Falcons Radio Network. He's on Countdown to Game Day. Harry Douglas, I don't know how many different things you're doing at this point, man, but we appreciate you taking a break from the constant grind of film study to come and hang out with us.
I appreciate it, man. I just left Ohio State's football facilities, just finished doing some interviews over there. So I'm grinding, Gojo. You know I like to go like that, though.
Hey, listen, that's how you're built, man. That's why you're a Louisville Hall of Famer. That's why you're a productive wide receiver in the NFL for as long as you were. Get in the bag with this Falcons organization. And, Harry, that's where I want to start. We were just talking about Matt Ryan going into this game tonight with Mac Jones and him at the helm at quarterback here. How are people in Atlanta viewing Matt Ryan at this point in the season? Because I feel like everyone was trying to push him out of the building around the draft this past year.
And I'll tell you, you're not wrong there, Gojo. Before the season started, a lot of people wanted the Falcons to move on from Matt Ryan. But I have more insight than a lot of people because, number one, I played with Matt Ryan, so I understand the kind of quarterback he is. And I try to tell this to people. If you protect Matt Ryan and give him the proper protection and he's not getting sacked, getting hit, he will carve any defense up. I don't care if it's the number one defense in the NFL or it's the last place defense in the NFL. If you give him time to be able to decipher a defense and be comfortable in that pocket, he's going to carve you up. You've seen that against New Orleans, and New Orleans has a pretty good defense this year. You've seen that against them. You even seen it against Tampa Bay early in the year before they had a ton of injuries go on. He actually propelled those guys back to having a chance to actually win in the fourth quarter, and they couldn't get some third down, key third and short situations. But Matt Ryan has been playing lights-out football this year, and I think it's just showing everybody that, okay, we were trying to get rid of Matt Ryan. We were trying to write him off. But let's just hold on here because we like what we're seeing. And if you can continue to put more pieces around him, I think he can play another I think he can play another 4 or 5 years, honestly. I just think he's that damn good, and he's very unappreciated. But you got to understand, Matt Ryan came in 2008, and I was there with him in that draft class, and that was the coming after a Michael Vick era. You know what I mean? So you kind of had the fan base kind of divided. But Matt Ryan, since becoming the quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons, has done nothing but win a Super Bowl. But he has been everything you expected him to be. He has made the plays. He's delivered. He's won an MVP. He's led the team to a Super Bowl. He went to an NFC Championship game. We lost that one. I had a little play in there that played a part in us losing that game. Can't put it all on him. I mean, we all had plays. So I had a play in that didn't allow us to go to the Super Bowl, but I like Matt Ryan, man. Leadership this year is different because he has so many guys around him that are young, right? And we talk about this and we laugh about it because it's like you look at 2008 and you go through the years and there's so many guys on the team that you've been with since you've been here or throughout a long period of your career, and then you turn and look around, then nobody's here, right? So your approach to every day life at the facility has to be different because, number one, you got to be able to relate to the young guys that are coming in and direct them and show them what you need them to do for you to be successful, not just you, but the team and the offense.
Harry, what I want to know is, has Arthur Smith asked you if you're good for any snaps tonight? Because I'm sitting there looking at the injury report for the Falcons receivers. I mean, no Hayden Hurst tonight. I mean, we know the story behind it's Calvin rough. Ridley. Cordarrelle Patterson rough. Has got to be a game-time decision. So I'm just trying to figure out what is the game plan for the Atlanta Falcons in terms of how they're going to have success on the offensive side of the ball tonight if Cordarrelle Patterson is banged up or if he can't go at all.
And Chris, I'll be honest with you, it's going to be rough because Cordarrelle Patterson, I think outside of Matthew Judon, has been the best free agent signing in the NFL. Mm. I put Matthew Judon number one. I put Cordarrelle Patterson at two. And him not, if he doesn't play tonight, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do because he's been a guy that you can hand the ball off to. He's on kick returns, but he's a guy that you can line up wide, and you've seen that against the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, he won that game for him. Yeah.
And it was the same play they ran on the first drive when he had a linebacker matched up on him. So what did New Orleans Saints say this time? Okay, we're not going to match him up with a backer. We're going to match him up with a corner. They don't give a damn if it's a corner. They still going to him. And you see he made both plays. So those are the kind of things that he present. And then he breaks tackles. You're not just going to bring him down with one tackle. It's going to take a gang of people defensively to bring him down. So you think about all that production. That's a lot of production missing from tonight's game if he's not able to go. To go along with a Calvin Ridley and a no Hayden Hurst. So now guys are going to have to step up. Tajae Sharpe has stepped up this year. Russell Gage. He's done a little bit. He can step up a little bit more, but it's going to – Alameda Zaccheaus in the game in New Orleans, he stepped up. But last
shout
week
out to
against
Virginia,
Dallas,
by the way.
Exactly. last week against Dallas, nobody stepped up. So they need to make up for what they didn't do and what they were lacking last week in Dallas.
Ken Ingle Jr. here on ESPN Radio talking to ESPN football analyst Harry Douglas. That was Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. Harry, as you look at the matchup for tonight on the other side, a lot of eyes going to be on Patriots rookie quarterback Mac Jones. And I'm wondering for you, you mentioned the playoff trips, the things that you've seen in that portion of the NFL season. Can the way he's playing be something they replicate in the postseason, or does that change too much for them to continue to play it this safe with him?
Well, I'll tell you this, and Phil know this, Phil Yates, and then Mina alluded to it also. I think it's time for Bill Belichick to let the young kid unleash. Unleash the young kid and let him go out there and spin it, man, because I think he can throw it. He throws with anticipation, which at this level you have to. He's going to go the right place with the football. So I think for the Falcons tonight, I will blitz him. I will blitz him and put him in blitz situations because you don't have that many home run hitters offensively at the skill positions for the Patriots like Dallas did. The Falcons tried to blitz Dallas, and Dak just ate it up left and right, and the blitz never got home. But I'll try to see if I can blitz Mac Jones tonight and force him to speed things up even more to see if you can slow him down that way. But he's a guy who's going to make great decisions. He's not going to be the most athletic guy. We was talking about Matt Ryan earlier. He's not the most athletic guy, but he's going to get the ball in the right spot where it needs to be, and he's going to throw it on time. And that's what you want. That's what you ask for as a head coach and as a teammate.
Harry, based on what your eyes tell you, what's the ceiling for this Patriots team?
Be honest, man, the brand of football they're playing right now, they're playing complementary football. And I know it's cliche, and that's what coaches preach. But if they continue on this road, they can possibly make a deep run in the playoffs. They can make a deep run. You have a quarterback who's not going to really turn the football over. I know he's had a game where he turned the football over, but most likely he's going to take care of the football. The run game is solid. What you want with a young quarterback? You want your run game to be efficient. But then on the opposite side of the ball, you have that defense. You have guys on that defensive side. You have Hightower. You have Judon. You have J.C. Jackson on the back end. So that's three guys separate on all three levels, right? That's when you know you have a solid defense, when you can have three guys on each level that can wreck a game for the offensive opponent.
Awesome stuff, as always, from Harry Douglas. Guys, check him out. He's on ESPN Radio. He'll be on Countdown to Game Day live before College Game Day this weekend. Harry, we appreciate the time, brother. Enjoy the game this weekend. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
I appreciate it, guys.
Awesome stuff there from Harry. We'll have plenty more on Thursday Night Football coming up. Lewis Riddick still going to join us in the show, our Monday Night Football analyst. Get us all set for what these two teams might be capable of. But coming up next, Return of the King may be coming tomorrow. LeBron James hopeful to be back with the Los Angeles Lakers. Is it going to be too little too late already for this team? That's next here, Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance is proud to support veterans with its annual Keys to Progress vehicle giveaway program. Now celebrating 9 years of donating vehicles and helping veterans in need. Learn more at keystoprogress.com. It's Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Canty. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we need help because I saw they had Nick Saban and Bill Belichick out here, Chris, talking about going to concerts together back in the day, like doing non-robot stuff, which is all we assume those football robots do. So everyone's like, oh, my God. But it did get us to thinking. At Mike Golic Jr., at Chris Canty 99. Combining a college coach, head coach, and an NFL head coach, and the dream concert you would like to go see with that tandem here right now. Because I feel like Nick Saban and Bill Belichick going to see, like, I forget some of the old-timey bands they mentioned, like
the Eagles. I think he said the Eagles was one of them, yeah.
I just don't feel like that would be anyone's first choice, Chris. Like, I don't know how those guys get down, but I don't imagine it's the way that we would like to get down.
Yeah, but I'm not going to be that guy that's going to kill them for going to concerts and music of their genre, their day and age, their generation. Like, I got to go ahead and give them a pass for the acts that they're going to see. But I'm just saying, when it came to trying to come up with ideas of current head coaches that I would want to go to a concert with and then what act I would want to go see, let's just say I came up with some interesting ideas. So we're going to have some fun with that a little bit later on in the 3 o'clock hour.
Yeah, need a little help with that. And spoiler alert, I think there is still going to be in this category one conference that just means more when you look at some of the choices. So we'll get to all that in a little bit. But Chris, we are getting ready Friday, and I should say you, as our resident Los Angeles Lakers fan, have been feeling the heat so far this season. By all accounts, it sounds like LeBron James is about a 50-50 proposition to return for their game against the Celtics this Friday. And so we've gotten an extended look at the non-LeBron Lakers and a 4-6 record later with some pretty lackluster performance against marquee talent. This experiment doesn't look like it's going great so far. Like, how much can we expect him to actually fix when he comes back, Chris?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of holes that he's going to have to plug. First of all, defensively, they're awful. Like, that's the one thing that jumps out to me. I mean, the last couple of years, the Lakers have been, you know, top five, top 10 defense in the National Basketball Association. This year, they're middle of the pack. I want to say they're 15th in defensive rating. So that part has to improve. But Gojo, we talked about it coming into this year with one of the oldest rosters in the NBA. They were going to struggle when it came to younger, more athletic teams that like to get up and down the court and that like to play with pace. And so that's what we've seen, especially in the absence of LeBron James. But now last night, they're going up against a Milwaukee Bucks team who only had their big three together for the third game this season. And I just felt like from an energy standpoint defensively, it just wasn't there. There should have been a lot more urgency. There should have been a lot more tenacity from Anthony Davis. I thought that as the best player on the court for the Lakers, he's the one that has to be responsible for setting the tone on both ends of the court. And that just did not happen. And in fact, the opposite happened, where Giannis took him to work, took him to task, man, dropping 47 on his head. So, I mean, that's the thing that's probably the most alarming, just Anthony Davis not stepping up in the absence of LeBron James, where that was essentially the plan when the Lakers traded for Anthony Davis from the New Orleans Pelicans. Like, he was supposed to be the guy as LeBron James got older, as he got into year 19, year 20, Anthony Davis would become more the focal point for this team. And he just hasn't stepped up in that regard. So I think there's fair to point the finger and to start asking some tough questions about, you know, where he's at with it, his commitment level and his overall mentality and his, you know, and whether or not it's going to be good enough for the Lakers to get to where they want to go. Because we got to anticipate, like, with an older team, you're going to have some key pieces throughout the course of the year that could miss some time. AD has got to be an anchor for this team when that happens. So it just clearly wasn't the case last night. He was outplayed by Giannis in every respect, and that ultimately ended up being the difference as to why the Milwaukee Bucks were able to win that game.
It's so weird, Chris, because skill set wise, he was supposed to be Giannis before Giannis was Giannis. Like, that was supposed to be his future. And for a lot of people, especially when we saw that Lakers bubble postseason run, we thought that was going to be much more in the cards for them. But now what we've got here is prompted our own Stephen A. Smith to go on First Take today and say, for LeBron James, it's all done.
The bottom line is, I'm going to be in the Bay Area for the finals this year. Warriors going to the finals. Let me say something else. I think LeBron has won his last title. I think it's over.
Okay. I'm glad 15 games into the season you feel that way.
But, Chris, I think it's less about the sample size going into the season and more about everyone's concerns from this offseason kind of being legitimized so far. Like, I hear Anthony Davis when he says, we put a team together this offseason and we haven't gotten to see the whole thing on the court all at once for any extended amount of time. At the same time, this time period, like you said, was supposed to be when Anthony Davis steadied things. This, albeit in a more extended sample size, is when Russell Westbrook was supposed to be the adult on the court for the Lakers. And so far, neither of those things have come to fruition.
No, Russell Westbrook is leading the NBA in turnovers per game, which is a problem. And the crazy part about that statistic is his usage rate is the second lowest in his entire career. So how does that part of the game work? Like you're not getting the ball as much, yet you're responsible for having more turnovers than anybody else in the league. That makes no sense to me. So Russell Westbrook absolutely has to be better. The one thing that I will say as a silver lining is since THT has come back, Taylor Horton Tucker, like he's been the primary ball handler for the Lakers and Russell Westbrook has been off the ball. I think that's something that Russ has to get used to playing in that role because that's what he's going to be doing when LeBron James gets back. And then THT has been balling in the three games since he's been back. He's averaging 23 points and 7 boards. So we need more of that. But it's a problem for the Lakers when THT ends up being the best player on the court for you. That's supposed to be Anthony Davis. That's supposed to be Russell Westbrook. And it wasn't last night. And that's the biggest issue. And the shooting on this team continues to be another problem that they've got to figure out. This is a mediocre shooting team at best. And, Mike, we've seen it with LeBron James teams that have been highly successful. What do you have to do? You got to surround LeBron with shooters. Right now, you got Carmelo Anthony and a bunch of possibles. Like, you can't consistently depend on Bazemore or Ellington or Monk because those guys are not just consistent knockdown shooters from the perimeter. So that's another area of this team that has to be addressed. And I'm not quite sure that LeBron James coming back can fix all of it. He can clean up a lot of it because he's a basketball genius, and I'm not going to take the Stephen A. Smith route and completely dismiss the possibility that LeBron could win another title with this group. I'll be the last one at that party, but I will say this. You're asking a lot for a guy that's in year 19 and has shown over the course of the last 3 or 4 years that he's getting nicked up throughout the course of the regular season. So there's some problems out there with the L.A. Lakers as constituted, but I got to say this. LeBron James, he's the one that picked this team. He's the one that decided he wanted AD. He's the one that decided he wanted the Brody from the Washington Wizards. He's the one that decided he wanted DeAndre Jordan for God knows what reason. Like, he's the one that went and handpicked all of these different pieces. So while we're coming up with excuses as to why his degree of difficulty is going to be that much harder in terms of competing for a championship, we also got to put some of the blame on him because he's the one that's responsible for assembling this cast of characters.
Yeah, the assembly, but you mentioned the big part to me for the rest of this. You're right. The last few years, we have seen a much more vulnerable LeBron James injury-wise, and it's things like rolled ankles, soft tissue injuries, the stuff that's
groin,
really just
yep.
a sign of wear and tear. Like, the structural stuff when it happens, some of them freak injuries. Some of them we have the statistics about condensed playing time, over usage. It's why the things like calculated rest have become such a part of this load management. But this being a consistent part for an older player like LeBron, whose hallmark has always been his physical durability and prowess, that to me is about as concerning as anything we've seen from the Lakers so far, because the product without him on the court just ain't going to get it done. But Chris mentioned that unique kind of big bag of groceries that the Lakers have bought here, personnel-wise, for this season. Coming up next.
You're being kind.
Yes, that is, like I said, the kind. I was really trying to, like, be gentle with all this because we are, like, 15 games into the season, but, man, it ain't good. Coming up next, though, let's see if we can make a better batch when it comes to figuring out which college coach, NFL coach, and concert combination we want to come up with here on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kane and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And there's been a bunch of interesting news today around the worlds of football and the worlds of music. Chris, we had the announcement from the college football playoff that the CFP National Championship is going to have a bunch of series of free concerts ahead of the CFP with big names like Ava Max, Doja Cat, 21 Pilots, Breland, Sam Hunt, all going to be performing at Monument Circle in Indianapolis. Any of those do it for you?
Sam Hunt. I'm a big Sam Hunt fan. He's nice with it. Yeah.
That'll be a good one. Big
little
fan
Doja,
of that one.
Little Doja Cat. Yeah, I can get into that a little bit.
Yeah, there's going to be plenty of these in the mix in there. There's some hot tickets. Hot tickets brought to you by Vivid Seats, where you can earn rewards with every purchase. Vivid Seats Rewards is your ticket to more tickets. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Wonder if some people might enjoy that concert, because we heard on a couple of different outlets here that apparently Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, for anyone that didn't know, they were in Cleveland together when Bill Belichick was the DC. Nick Saban was coaching defensive backs there with him. It's where folks like our own Lewis Riddick, who will join us later in the show, cut their teeth in the NFL. But Nick Saban brought up on Sunday NFL Countdown that him and Bill Belichick actually used to do fun things, which was revelatory to a lot of people. Here was Nick Saban.
I think the most unbelievable thing that nobody would ever think happened is, you know, Bill and I used to go to concerts all the time. We went to see the Eagles, Joe Walsh, Ringo Starr, Phil Collins. So, you know, everybody's got all these serious moments about, you know, coaching games and all that type of thing. But we had a little bit of fun every now and then, too.
We had the exact smallest amount of fun possible and then got back to work.
You know that's what it was, too, right? They blocked it out. They had an itinerary from this hour to this hour. We're allowed to have fun. And then after that, it's back to the facility, back to film study and game breakdown. Like, you know that's what it was. There were strict limitations on the amount of fun that they could actually have. They might have had a quota for how many times they could actually laugh and smile, too. That might have been a part of it. We don't know. We weren't there.
I would imagine it's straight up like they would script out a practice here. You got 5-minute increments for periods right here. We got that all mapped out here. Like, they're like a walking version of that Becoming Your Parents insurance commercial that's going on right now. Bill Belichick did, by the way, go on WEEI, the Patriots head coach, and co-sign such behaviors.
We went through a few, and Nick went to college with Joe Walsh at Kent State. So, really? It's a good connection there with Joe. And you know, when John came up, he had some shows in Cleveland and all that. So, yeah, Nick's great. We had really a lot of, did a lot of social things together. You know, Terry, she's definitely the life of the party, too. So, we always had a great time with them and shared some great experiences there.
That the world-famous Miss Terry, Nick Saban's wife. And, Chris, I'd imagine being the life of the party amongst a group with Nick Saban and Bill Belichick, not exactly the highest bar to clear, but nonetheless an award we will give out. But all of this did get us to thinking. If you had to pick one college coach, currently a head coach, one current NFL head coach, and a musical act, which one are you going with? We've been trying to cook them up here in the show group with us right now. Chris, I want to start with you. Have you figured out your group here? Because this is harder than people think.
No question about it. Like, I'm just sitting there thinking about all of the coaches in the collegiate ranks and in pro football and just trying to wonder who seems like a coach that likes to have a good time, that likes to let their hair down and enjoy a good music concert. And I was coming up empty for a while, Gojo, which took me down an interesting road. I feel like I want to turn this more into a social experiment where I just want to drop coaches into a situation that I know might not necessarily come natural to them. It might be counterintuitive to what they would like to do. So what I came up with was picking Mike Gundy, head coach of Oklahoma State.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Mike Gundy. I'm going to take it there. And then I'm going to take Mike Zimmer, head coach of the Minnesota Vikings, my former defensive coordinator when I was with the Dallas Cowboys. And I want to drop them off at a Rick Ross concert in Miami and just see what ends up happening with that. I just want to see how that ends up going.
I can tell you how that ends up going.
I just want to sit back and watch it. Like, I don't even know if I want to necessarily be right there with them. I just want to be a fly on the wall and see how they respond to what's happening on the stage with the concert and then how the people are reacting to the musical act around them. That's what I want to see.
Man, I hope no one's mic'd up. This feels incredibly dangerous here. But, man, so Mike Zimmer wasn't getting down with you guys in the locker room like that. Is that what you're telling me here?
No, I'm saying, listen, I love Zim. He's a great coach. But I can promise you Mike Zimmer ain't got Rick Ross on his iPhone and his iTunes, his Spotify. I can promise you that's not in heavy rotation with the music that Mike Zimmer listens to. I know that much about the man.
Yeah, you know what? That's a fair point, Chris. Yeah. I went a little more like, true route here, both to my taste and the confirmed taste of some of the choices here. College head coach, I went with Lane Kiffin. An NFL head coach, I want to go with Andy Reid, and I'm taking them both to a Taylor Swift concert. Because I saw this confirmed. Alex McDaniel, who works at For the Win, proud Ole Miss alum, confirmed, and Lane Kiffin tweeted he is a fan of the 10-minute Taylor Swift All Too Well version. And I feel like Andy Reid can kind of be the dad to chaperone there while, Lane and I actually enjoy ourselves.
Gojo, you just got to be careful with Lane Kiffin because you know he might flake on you. You've seen what he's flaked on other college jobs. He might flake on going to the concert with you.
Going to end up on a different show entirely. Speaking of a different show, coming up next, we'll talk about Baker Mayfield's shoulder on ESPN Radio.